Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, they can't. In fact, we go places that we didn't think we'd go, but that here we are. It's not even radio, baby. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Now, I don't know how, is that a good slogan?
I don't know. Not even radio with the Phil Hendry Show. I have to think about that one.
Yeah, that's like saying radio's bad.
Well, no, it's better than radio. It's the Phil Hendry Show, although somebody's probably thought of that. All right. I didn't want to get too sidetracked, but I think I will, because actually if I say we're getting sidetracked, I'm not sure what we're getting sidetracked from. We can do anything we want on this show, can't we?
Yeah, but you want to do stuff that's good.
Well, yeah, but I saw this. I started talking to the crew about this during the break, and because there was a little thing on it on the military channel, which, as you know, we have on morning, noon, and night on our TV here in the El Pacifico studios. Now, this was a very interesting story to me, and I think if you haven't heard the story, you will find it fascinating, too. Bud, your eyes were bugging out.
Oh, you're going to tell a story about the balloons?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
Okay, well, don't yell at me, man, and spit on me.
You're spitting all over, man.
So?
All right, well, take it easy. This is a very interesting story because, it's interesting from a couple of standpoints. One, during World War II, there was no intercontinental warfare going on. There was no intercontinental warfare going on between Europe and the United States. There was no intercontinental warfare going on between Asia and the United States. Nobody could launch missiles. There was no such thing as the ICBM missile. So the theater of war was in Europe and in the Pacific, and fortunately, because of the geographic location of our country and the efficacy of our armed forces, the war never was on American soil. I mean, besides the attack on Pearl Harbor. But, and this is pretty ingenious, in 1945, the Japanese, and actually before that, 1944, the Japanese devised a method. They devised a way to deliver explosives to the U.S. homeland. They wanted to bomb the U.S., and more than bomb the United States, they wanted those bombs to create an even larger problem for us. And so they went about the job of building what were called the Fugo, or fire balloons. Now, what were these things? These were balloons, much like weather balloons, large, round balloons with a little piece of ordnance hanging from it, a mechanical device that carries the ordnance below it. They were made out of rice paper.
Dude, that's the part I don't believe.
Why don't you believe it?
What do you mean rice paper, man? Aren't they supposed to be made out of rubber?
Yeah.
What do you mean rubber? These are a balloon in the air?
What? That's what they're made out of.
No, they're not made out of rubber, you clowns. They make balloons out of other materials. Balloons that big ain't gonna be out of rubber.
I thought you had to blow it up like a rubber balloon.
No, you don't. They made it out of rubber. They make it out of rice paper. Anyway,
that's on account of it's from Japan, huh?
Hey, bud, shut up, all right?
What? I'm not being racist.
Well, still. Anyway, they made these balloons. Now, these balloons, when launched, would get into the jet stream and would sail due east from Japan. The Japanese scientists were able to calculate how much time it would take these balloons traveling in the jet stream due east to reach the North American continent. More specifically, the United States. They also calculated how much time would elapse before the balloons essentially lost their buoyancy, whatever gases involved were keeping them aloft. If the balloons dropped too low, the barometric reading, the barometric device on the balloon, would release weights, and it would keep the balloon aloft. If the balloon got too high, then I believe some releasing of hydrogen, there was hydrogen gas, from the balloon would take place. And by the way, hydrogen gas is extremely unstable, so I guess we're still using it. And so that would keep the balloon low, and with all of this being registered by the barometer on board. Once the balloon reached a certain distance, which was the distance to the United States, it then jettisoned its explosives. Now, what were they? They were bombs that were incendiary. Once they hit, they would explode, and by an incendiary bomb, I mean a bomb that causes fires. They use a material of some kind that sprays and ignites very easily anything and everything within its range. We used it very effectively ourselves during World War II, and the Japanese probably, you know, thinking a little bit of payback. I don't know what they were thinking, but what they wanted to do is, they got these balloons with these bombs. Well, how bad can the damage be? Aha, let's make them incendiary, and let's launch them when? Let's launch them in late spring, early summer, so that by the time they get to the United States, they are hovering over a forested area, and they calculated that these bombs would be over the Pacific Northwest, which is very forested, obviously, lots and lots of trees, and dry trees. Dry undergrowth. A lot of kindling there. That was what was in the minds of these Japanese scientists. And you got to admire the sheer devilish ingenuity of all of this. Well, they launched them, and they did indeed catch the Gulf Stream, the jet stream, and they did indeed travel due east, and they got all the way to the North American shores. As a matter of fact, one of them was found as far east, I believe, and this is crazy, as far east as like Illinois. I mean, it went a long way before it deflated and also dropped these bombs. Now, here's what happened when these balloons reached North America, and I believe they all did. Not one of them didn't make it. I believe they all dropped. They dropped, it says here, the Japanese released an estimated, well, excuse me, it says the Japanese released an estimated 9,000 fire balloons. At least 342 reached the United States. Okay, that's the historical record. They don't know where the other ones went, so it doesn't necessarily mean they didn't reach the United States. And some drifted as far as Nebraska. Some were shot down. Some caused minor damage when they landed, but no injuries. One hit a power line and temporarily blacked out the nuclear weapons plant at Hanford, Washington. But in point of fact, the fires, the forest fires they were supposed to start, never happened because the forests, while it was summer and it was, you know, a fairly hot summer, it had been a very wet spring. And, you know, the Pacific Northwest, that's probably something they didn't take into consideration. While we got a lot of trees up there, it rains like hell, man, during the wintertime, just about all the time. So when it finally got to Oregon, which is south of Washington, so it's a little, you know, there's a little bit of a desert terrain in Oregon, and you can find some dry areas that maybe these bombs could ignite. None of these fires ever got out of control. They were all in areas that were pretty green, so the fires burned in a very limited way and then went out. But here is the tragedy. And this is in the context of a war where civilians were being killed everywhere. I mean, on all continents, in all kinds of ways, in the most gruesome and the most unbelievably horrific manner. World War II was, there's just been no match to it in how many civilians died and in the ways that they died. But here in the United States, we had, in addition to Pearl Harbor, we had casualties too. A Japanese balloon bomb made its way to Oregon. Now, this balloon bomb made its way all the way over to Oregon, and it landed after losing its capacity to remain buoyant, but its bomb didn't go off. It was, if you will, for the moment, a dud. Now comes the month of May, 1945, just a few months before the end of the war, and there is a minister and her husband, and there's five 13- and 14-year-old kids near Klamath Falls. Reverend Archie Mitchell, he was a minister too, he's driving the group along a mountainous road on the way to a Sunday afternoon picnic, according to a Southern Oregon newspaper called the Mail Tribune. His wife is Elise Mitchell. She's pregnant. She becomes sick, so her husband pulls the sedan over, and he starts to speak to a construction crew about fishing conditions, and his wife and the kids momentarily walk away from the car. They're about 100 yards from the car when his wife shouts to him, "Look what I found, dear." And then one of the road crew workers, a guy by the name of Richard Barnhouse, said there was a terrible explosion. Twigs flew through the air, pine needles began to fall, dead branches and dust and dead logs went up in the air. The minister and the road crew ran to the scene. Jay Gifford, one of the kids, Edward Engen, these are all the kids that were, some of the children that were with them, Sherman Shoemaker, Dick Patsky, and their teacher, Elise Mitchell, were all dead, strewn around a one-foot hole. The teacher's dress was ablaze. Dick Patsky's sister, Joan, was severely injured. She died minutes later. The six were victims of Japan's so-called Fugo or fire balloon campaign, what I just talked to you about. Now, when this happened, the U.S. government said, "We don't want a word of this to leak to anybody." I don't know how they got to the newspaper. I don't know how they kept people quiet, but they did. In those days, all you had to say to people was, you know, this is a patriotic, your patriotic duty, and people did it. I guess now, standing where we are standing in the, you know, the long line of history, I guess we probably look back on people in those days and say they were stupid. Well, they weren't stupid. They would probably look at us and call us stupid for a few of the things that we do, but nonetheless, they didn't ask a lot of questions, and the country was at war, so, and we were fighting some pretty bad guys. So anyway, make a long story short, nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this until after the war had ended, and eventually this did leak out. The information about the balloons, the information about what they were made out of, the information as to how far they traveled, the information as to all of this stuff and what they were intended to do. And then, of course, this horrible event in early May of 1945, the death of this woman and these children near Klamath Falls. So,
man, that's whack.
I never knew that, man.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. But like I said, you know, that was a war, World War II. Civilians, when you talk about people dying, I don't think there's ever been a war where more civilians died in more gruesome ways than World War II. So that's that story, and there's other space news. Well, that wasn't really space.
Yeah, those are like Japanese space balloons.
No, they're not space balloons. The satellite is falling. I guess you guys got the word that the satellite fell to Earth, but I want to find out exactly where and how and when and how many pieces and all that jazz. So we'll get into that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. Please get yourself a backstage pass. If you are a first-generation backstage pass holder, that means if you get a backstage pass today or you got a backstage pass all the way back in 1999, which is when we started our website, you are a first-generation member of our website, and you'll pay our first-generation price. Because guess what? On October the 1st, for everybody else, the price is going up. Stick around. We'll tell you more about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876 Phil. I had up on our website the article from the Wired website. It's a pretty cool website, and if you go to Wired, you can enter in just enter in the words "fire balloons," and
yeah, get the article.
You'll get the article there. It's right there. 877-876 Phil. Now here is this is great stuff here. Because I had no idea that I'm on the other side of the public opinion divide when it comes to this. And that is the self-checkout lanes. I like them.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. What's the kid about?
I don't know. I'm with him.
You know, what do you mean him? You talking about me?
Well, yeah, I'm pointing at you.
His name's Robert, you know.
All right, Robert.
Thank you.
See, I mean, what a baby, man. I'm trying to make a point.
All right, will you just make your point, okay?
Forget it.
Oh, what a baby, man. All I'm saying is, all right, okay, let me say it. Now you want to say it.
Will you guys shut up? Here, I'll say it. I'm not interested in what your opinion is. When Keith Ween, is that his name?
Think so.
No, it ain't. It's Wearne. W-E-A-R-N-E. Keith Wearne.
Pronounced Ween.
Pronounced Ween. Goes grocery shopping. Checking out with a cashier is worth the few extra moments rather than risking that a self-serve machine might go awry and delay him even more. No way. That's a hokey excuse. Most shoppers side with Wearne, or Weens. Studies show. God, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
What don't you believe?
What do I don't believe? Are you telling me they're going to get rid of the self-serve lanes because Ween and his friends are nervous about using them?
That's not what it said. It says he's afraid it's going to delay him.
That's an excuse he's given. He doesn't, that sits down. He's not afraid of that. You know what he's afraid of? He doesn't know how to use the machine. That's what he doesn't want to look like a dumbass.
That's not fair, man. People can say what they think.
Sure they can say what they think, and I can say what I think.
Why do you always think people are dumbass and hiding something?
Because people usually are hiding something, that's why. Because people usually are hiding something. Let that be a lesson to you. Okay?
Like what?
I'm telling you right now, and you don't have to believe me, that the human animal constructs all kinds of personas to get through the day. We've got all kinds of bullcrap ways of presenting ourselves to the world. And I'm telling you, and I'm not saying people are liars. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that 90% of the human animal, you know how they say that we're like, 90% water, something like that?
Yeah.
Well, that's our physical makeup. Our conversation, 90% bullcrap.
Oh, man, that's not fair.
It may not be fair, but that's what I believe. That's what I honestly believe. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have our moments of lucid and very earnest honesty. I'm not saying that we are not in control of how we think and how we act. We are. There are times that we simply will not be as candid as some people might think we should be, or not as candid as we could be, because it isn't safe and it isn't smart. And frankly, it's not, you know.
Well, what do you mean? We're supposed to be honest and everything. You're turning my world upside down.
Oh, shut up. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, how come people say it's supposed to be honest?
Yeah, everything I thought I knew is wrong.
Oh, you're right, bud.
I'm not kidding.
You're a fool. Dude, this isn't about being a dishonest person. This is not about being dishonest. Because most of us, for instance, most of us do have if we have a conscience, we do have a very deep-seated sense of honesty. We don't steal. I'm saying most. We don't steal without guilt. We don't steal, go around behind somebody's back or lie to them in ways that could be injurious without guilt and without some feeling of remorse. So we understand what the vital difference is between truth and dishonesty. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we go through life. And when we go through the world on a daily basis, about 90% of what we're doing is bullcrap. We're showing the world a face of ourselves that we don't really feel all that secure in. We're showing the world an image of ourselves that, may not be the exact picture, you know.
What are you saying? Like, if a guy's really happy and he's being really nice to people, you say he's not happy?
Could be, yeah.
No, I can see that.
Yeah, could very well be. Guy goes through life all happy, go lucky, and hey, how you doing, Joey? Yeah, I'm really great. And maybe he goes home and he sits in a deep, dark, black depression about things. You know, what did people say about that guy? What's the guy that ate those people?
Where?
In Milwaukee.
Dahmer.
Dahmer. What did they say about Dahmer?
Yeah, but that guy was crazy.
Well, okay, he's a bad example. But the fact is, while not eating human beings, we're all in our own way presenting this look, you know. So when this guy says to the interviewer, I don't really like those self-checkout lines because it may break and then I'm going to have to spend more time, bull crap. Anybody that has used those self-checkout machines, and I use them all the time, I don't go to the checker. Not that I don't like the checker, but I don't go to the checker because I know for a fact I'm going to be held up. I know for a fact it's going to take longer. That's not my imagination. It always freaking does, man.
Yeah, but you use the self-checkout, it's faster?
Yes, it's always faster. Man, I get the self... First of all, number one, there's never a line at the self-checkout. That's because all these scaredy cats like Mr. Ween here are standing there and he wants to talk to the checker because he doesn't want to look like a dumbass using the checker, the self-checkout machine.
You're calling anybody a dumbass. You could be wrong.
Look at man, let me tell you something. Anybody that's used a self-checkout machine knows that there's no delay using them. Anyone that uses them knows that for a fact, unless you don't know how, and God bless you, but there's something, you know, you're not patient enough. Everyone knows that when you use the line where the checker is, you're always going to be delayed by some mental deficient who doesn't, oh, wow, I didn't know the price on this. Let me go get another one, you know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Everything I knew is wrong.
Phil Hendry.
I'm all in the heat.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Man,
still get pneumonia.
I don't have pneumonia still, but I still have I still have a reduced breathing capacity.
You get that flu shot?
Yes, I went on Sunday, and I got not only a flu shot, I got a pneumonia shot. Now look, let me just say this. Everybody, any doctor I've ever talked to says everybody should get a flu shot, man. So it's no longer about, oh, yes, if you're elderly, you should get one. Well, yeah, okay, fine. But everybody, unless you like feeling like, you know, like a homemade capital S-H, and I can't spell the rest of it, you know.
Well, yeah, but old people need to have the shot anyway.
Yeah, so I'm old, is that it?
Well, I mean, you know.
Listen, I'm telling you guys, you should go get a flu shot unless you want to be talking like Froggy the Frogman and feeling like warmed over dung. You know how you guys felt last year. And I got to get a pneumonia shot, man, because, look, when I got back from Canada and my throat was trashed, and I went to the doctor, and he's like, yeah, man, you got bronchitis still. And he said, and you know that can, in you, man, that can morph into pneumonia. I said, you know, I'm going to have to change. I got to change my life. I got to change my world. All right, so anyway, getting back to this grocery checkup thing, I just wanted to make a couple of things clear, and I know we're going to get to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. Now, most shoppers side with this guy Ween. They don't want to use the do-it-yourself option. It was once considered the wave of the future in the name of customer service. It's just more interactive, Ween said during a recent shopping trip at Manchester, Connecticut's Big Y Foods. You get someone who says hello. You get a person to talk to if there's a problem. You know something, man? I don't believe that guy for a minute unless he's 100 years old.
Oh, you think he's an old guy?
That is an old guy, yeah. That guy, if he's a young guy, he sounds like an old guy. I don't buy that at all. More interactive. Look, man, I'm there and I'm shopping, okay? And yeah, sure, I'd like to have a conversation, but guess what? The conversation that I'm having with the checker is pissing off everybody behind me. Everyone wants to just to get in there and get the hell out of there. The stuff about, oh, well, you know, I'd like that guy that starts up the chit-chat with the checker, I want to strangle. Because I ain't got time, man. I'm not into it.
Yeah, but you like antisocial.
Oh, no, I'm not antisocial, man. I'm a guy that went to the store and I bought something. I'm in line. I would like to get my stuff. I'm not causing a scene. I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm not saying a word. I'm just, you know. You know, once I said, I didn't even say anything, man. When I was standing in the line to get on the plane to go to Chicago, I was at LAX. And this particular day, LAX had its head, the TSA had their head so far up their ass, it was, I'm telling you right now, I don't mean any disrespect, guys, but, you know, come on. I mean, why did I have to say, and I did, I said something, I didn't mean to say anything. I was saying it to the guy behind me, because we were taking forever to get to this damn line. And they had every single one of these machines working. They had every TSA agent known to God and man on duty. It was all pumping. It should have been. And people were not going through this thing. They're standing there staring at the ceiling. The freaking TSA guy isn't doing anything. He's just standing there staring. Everybody's standing and staring. So I turned and I looked at the guy behind me and I said, this is really inefficient. Look at all these people and look at all of the TSA agents they have. And there hasn't been one person that's gone through this metal detector. and the guy overheard me.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to make it sound like you got everything.
I'm telling you, it's the truth.
No, so the guy got everything going because of you.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I didn't say anything to the guy. I just said to this dude behind me. And all of a sudden, I see this guy. Yeah, come on, folks, you can move over here. He started moving the lines. All right, so you don't believe me.
No, come on, man. Everything in this world doesn't boil down to you doing something about it.
Hey, what is this anyway, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, get over yourself.
Get over myself? When have I said that Phil Hendry is the be-all and the end-all of the universe?
About every day.
Yeah, I'm going to beat somebody's ass here in a minute. Anyway, market studies cited by the Arlington, Virginia-based Food Marketing Institute found only 16% of supermarket transactions in 2010 were done at self-checkout lanes. That's down from a high of 22% 3 years ago. Overall, people reported being much more satisfied with their supermarket experience when they used traditional cashier-staffed lanes. Oh, man, that sucks.
Well, what's it mean?
They're going to get rid of the self-checkout. Supermarket chains started introducing self-serve lanes about 10 years ago, touting them as an easy way for shoppers to scan their own items. Actually, the first one that I saw was 20 years ago in, I think it was in Minneapolis, at a co-op they had them. Don't ask me what a co-op is. It's a place where you have to get your food from the people that, I don't know what it is. Anyway, retailers also anticipate a labor savings, potentially reducing the number of cashier shifts as they encourage shoppers to do it themselves. The reality, though, was mixed. Some shoppers loved them and were quick converts, while other reactions ranged from disinterest to outright hatred. Much of it started on blogs or on Facebook. Well, I'm very disappointed, man. I'm very, very disappointed. 877-876-PHIL. And let's take a phone call here. Let's go to Charlie, listening in San Diego. Charlie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Phil. I'm enjoying the program this evening. I wanted to call you.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to weigh in on you're talking about the self-checkout lines. And I think you're giving a bad rap to those of us who would prefer to be in a line that is served by a cashier.
Could you get closer to your phone, sir?
And the cashier...
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Can you get closer to your phone?
I'm sorry. I hope this is... Is this a little bit better?
Yes.
The cashier... most of us would like to be in the...
Down there happen again. You need to get closer.
I'm trying to be as close as I can. Most of us...
Then you're going to have to talk louder.
Most of us would like to...
Louder.
Most of us... What?
Not that loud, okay? Just back it down.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I don't know, bud. Have him call on a different phone.
You call on a different phone?
What?
Can you call on a different phone?
Boy, you pain in the ass.
Did he hang up?
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So, that's my experience. I like it. I like it a lot. I think that it's a fine experience to use the self-checkout lanes. It helps me. Why do I go to the store? I don't know about you, but I go to the store to buy something. I don't go to the store for conversation. I don't go to the store to make friends. I don't go to the store to find out what's new in the neighborhood. I go to the store to buy something and to, you know, come home with it. Now, in order for me to come home with it, I got to have... Is the guy back?
Yeah.
Okay, sir, you there?
How's this?
Okay, wow, man, it's blowing me up. Have the guy back it off, okay?
You gotta back it off, sir.
You there?
Yes, I had no idea. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I didn't know whether it was loud enough. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that'll do.
It'll do?
Yes, sir, it'll do.
The problem that I have is... I have two problems, actually. I have a personal problem. I don't like it when someone is only half satisfied with me. So you're saying now, and that has completely taken me off why I called, you're saying my phone call...
It's fine. It's fine, sir.
No, you didn't say that. You said it'll do. And I find that it's something that just doesn't sit well with me.
It's outstanding.
Well, you were talking earlier about lying. Is this a persona? Are you lying?
No, it's fine. It actually sounds much better. It's fine.
Because you got off on the wrong foot with me when you said it'll do.
All right, I apologize. I don't know you. Your name's Charlie?
Charlie the Fountain, yes, sir.
Okay. I apologize, Charlie. I didn't know you. I didn't mean to diminish or to dismiss what you were saying. The phone call, the tenor and quality of your phone line is superb for the purposes of our show.
Well, there you go again. You can't give me an unqualified...
It's the best phone line I've ever heard in my life. It's fantastic. I'm glad you called on it. God, I wish I had a phone like yours.
You're a real smartass, aren't you?
Sir, I don't know what else to tell you. I want to talk to you about why you called in, which is the checkout lines.
And that's exactly why I want to call in. And I will call in with that. But you said to me, very clearly, it'll do. Which immediately just put the taste of this entire conversation out of my mouth. And then you say, oh, it's the greatest... See, I know you're patronizing me. Let me start all over again.
Okay, start all over again.
All right, I'll call right back.
Hey, man, what's the story here, okay? This cat's phone call isn't that important.
No, he's going to say something really... He had a very interesting point he wanted to make.
Look, I don't care whether I take his call or not, okay? What is this? He's got a call back.
Hold on. Yes, sir? Yeah. Okay, start all over again like you didn't even call in the other time. Yeah.
Okay, have you got him?
Hold on. Huh? Yeah, he sometimes is a douchebag, but he's a nice guy.
Are you talking about me?
Hold on. What? Yeah. Yeah.
Get him on the air, bud.
Wait. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a real piece.
Get him on the air, will you? Just put him on the air.
Sorry.
Charlie, you there?
Yes, sir. All right. Mr. Henry, how are you?
I'm great.
You, Mr. Henry, you know my name?
Yes, sir, I do.
How?
From when you called.
Oh, come on, will you? I said, let's pretend like...
I'm going to kill you, man.
I didn't do it. He just said it. That's what he did.
I'm going to kill you. When you screen that call...
Hold on. Hello, sir? Yeah. Don't. Just. Never mind what Phil said. Yeah, I know. I got to ignore him, too.
Get the guy on the ear. Charlie.
Yes, Mr. Henry. This is Charlie LaFountain. I know that you know my name because your screener told you my name, didn't he?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Ah, yes. Mr. Henry, I'm calling because I want to take exception to some of the comments that you made about the checkout stand and the fact that people prefer to go to a living, live, breathing checker as opposed to using the self-service.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Henry, I believe that you're wrong, and here's why. I go to the supermarket because I love to see all of the food, obviously, and I love to see the different items that I can choose from. I think it's a great experience going to a modern American supermarket experience. And then I like to go into the line and move very slowly and fumble with my card and then find out that I don't have an item that I wanted and have the boy go get it. Now, why do I do all of these things? I do all of those things because it helps me relax, making people stand there and get irritated and wait. Now, it may sound very sadistic. And
yes, sir, it does.
Well, all right, and I will give you that. But the reason why I do it is I don't have much opportunity in this world to express my anger and disappointment at my life not being what I wanted it to be. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah.
So this is how I get back at the world, by moving very slowly, fumbling with my card, using lots of coupons, also writing a check, and then saying, oh, I don't want this. Can you take that back and give me something else? And then making sure I get an item that doesn't have a barcode, and they can never find the barcode, and they take a half hour looking for it.
So in other words, you do the line because that's the only way that you can infuriate and hurt people, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I see. So that's why you go to the supermarket, to hurt people.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
Well, that sounds pretty sick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
So that's the whole thing there, man, is what I'm talking about.
I didn't do it when the guy called up.
I'm just telling you, when you screen a phone call, find out what the guy wants to say. We'll get him on the air, etc., etc.
Yeah, but he don't know the guy's got a mental problem.
Yeah.
Well, that guy, I don't know what his problem was. He didn't like the fact that I did what? That I knew what his name was?
He wanted it to be a fresh phone call.
Yeah, he wanted to start off, he wanted the phone call to be all fresh and clean.
All fresh and clean, huh? A nice, fresh, clean phone call.
Yeah. And when you said his name, that made people think it's not a fresh, clean phone call on account of he might have called before.
That, you know what, man? I've talked to some weird asses in my day. That cat's about as gone as they get, man. a fresh, clean phone call. And then he starts talking about what I... Does that guy know how messed up he is?
I think he's kidding around.
Yeah, he's probably just kidding.
You know what, man? I'm losing my touch. I can't even... I don't even know who's kidding and who ain't.
You probably don't even know who's talking half the time.
You got that right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass. For those of you who are backstage pass holders now or any time back to 1999, your price is going to stay the same. Because guess what? On October 1st, our backstage pass price goes up for the first time in the history of the Phil Henry website, in the first time in 12 years. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Saudi Arabia has granted women the right to vote. Now, I don't know why anybody would be interested in a story like this. I really don't. I don't know why people would think this is a great story, because more and more, you know, the world we live in, America is what's wrong with it. You know, that's what you hear people say. I mean, women have had the right to vote in this country since the early part of the century. They had the right to vote in Britain, I think, a little bit longer. A little bit longer period, I think, than us. I don't know for sure. I know that they outlawed slavery in Great Britain before we did. But I've always maintained, and I always will maintain, unless the actual complexion, makeup, and the actual reality of America changes, this country has faced challenges and problems the likes of which no other country in the history of the world has ever faced, and has dealt with them successfully. We have dealt with the issues regarding race more so than any other country. We've dealt with issues regarding women's rights, the rights of all minorities, more than any other country. We've dealt with the rights of and the problems of homeless people, all kinds of problems. The rest of the world, in Phil Henry's opinion, and this is just my opinion, the rest of the world is like light years behind us. The rest of the world can suck our exhaust, as far as I'm concerned. The rest of the world can kiss our, you know...
bright red rosy.
Yeah. So I don't... When I hear that Saudi Arabia has finally granted women the right to vote, I could care less. That doesn't mean anything to me. Do you think that their votes even mean anything anyway? They got a king over there! King Abdullah granted women the right to vote. Well, isn't that great? He's a king! What the hell are they going to vote on? Whether or not the king gets to sleep in on Sunday, you know, maybe till 1, or has to get up at noon. Is that what they're going to vote on? And Iran, you tell me, well, Iran, women vote there. Oh, yeah, I'll bet the women vote in Iran. They vote, and they also get their hands cut off, or they get stoned to death, or whatever they do with women over there. And, of course, they haven't got any homosexuals in Iran. You know that. You heard that one, right? So, my goodness, the advances that are being made by countries, oh, gosh. You could take the whole Middle East, as far as I'm concerned, and I've had arguments with people who are from there. I've had, and the arguments are very hateful. I have to be honest with you. The ignorance, and I say, why should I give a damn about a region of the world that? And I used to say this to people: why do I give a damn about a region of the world that's run by dictators and kings? You're talking about Israel. You know, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You and of course, then I get the imperialist bastard. And are you a Jew? You must be a Jew. You must be a Jew. How could you defend Jews if you're not a Jew? Well, I figure about as much from some dumbass like you. So you're going to have to do a lot better than this, Saudi Arabia, for me to look at you as anything other than one big fat cat box, man. Seriously.
Cat box. Got a lot of sand.
Sure as hell is. Big wow. King Abdullah, the 87-year-old pruned-up old bastard that runs that country, who has a reputation for pushing reforms opposed by some of his half-brothers, oh, well, gosh, isn't that just wonderful, said the monarchy was simply following Islamic guidelines. Get, you know, take Islam and take all religion. You remember Christopher Hitchens wrote the book, God is Not Great. And what was he talking about? most people, you know, not most, but a great number of people were very offended by that title. Not stopping for a moment to think about what he was saying. What he was saying was, God, let's forget about what God, you know, God is not great, meaning the way that God is applied in this world is not great. Now, you're just going to have to take that. Now, I know Christians have come in for a lot of abuse and a lot of bashing, and I've been one of the people that have been part of the bashing and the abuse, and I apologize. Muslims, you're going to have to come in for some of that bashing now, too. You know, just man up and stand up tall and take your shots because you guys deserve it. And I think Jews have probably taken enough abuse, don't you? I do. The Hindus and the Buddhists now, well, they ain't done nothing yet to really make me pissed at them, so they're okay. It's just the Muslims. And the Christians still in second place, but the Muslims need a little, you know, little punching around. So we'll be focusing on that in the coming months.
Oh, great.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, Chris Johnson, and me, Phil Henry. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show every night, the podcast every day, and thousands of hours of archives you can't get anywhere else at the quality level. PhilHenryShow.com, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Visit us online at TalkRadioNetwork.com.